for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday morning, August the 31st, 2002, Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Carl Fox is the teacher of the mornings.
Behold, says the Lord, I give you a word today, that the anointing that has come upon you has been greater than anything that surpasses understanding of men. But I say to you, I've raised you up in newness of life, and you have warred against substance and that which you see. But the Spirit of the Lord has raised you up through the blood. And it is the blood of the Lamb that gives rejuvenation and regeneration. I, the Lord, will cause you to arise victorious in this hour and give you a greater understanding of the concepts of the principles of my kingdom, that you will not be defeated and speak out of your mouth those things that you see and say as the world does, that it is a hard way to go. But I say to you and remind you again that I raised you up again through the blood. And I say to you that newness of life has come to you, for the way of the transgressor is hard. But I say to you, those that know my name shall do great exploits. And they shall rise up as the army of God, as those things you sing and say. And you will understand the working of God in your life. For an anointing has come in this later rain. And it shall be voiced around, says the Lord, and heard by those that don't even know me. And they will come as the Gibeonites, and they will want to know your God. And there will be those that will arise in this hour even against you, but that's already written. For you know that Satan is still loose, but you have power to conquer and to overtake. I say to you, I've given you a trumpet to put to your mouth, the word that I've spoken unto you. And if you understand the principles of the working of the life of the blood within you, that you've been raised with the power of your God seated in heavenly places with your master. I say to you, even this day, if you arise and speak the boldness of the word of God in you, this river that is written that shall flow out of you shall be rivers of living water. And it shall water dry parched places, says the Lord, and victory shall be your portion. And you shall no longer stand in rational thinking of the mind of men, but the mind that I've given you, which is the mind of my Son, shall be upon you my word. And my word will do those things that I send it to perform, for it is written that it will not return empty unto me. I, the Lord, have called you out of darkness into this marvelous light, that you might stand, and you shall declare the word of the Lord. And you will not speak the negativeness of men, but you will stand and see the salvation delivering power of God. I, the Lord, will cause you to come to Mount Zion, the mountain of your God, and you will see from there the valleys. But I will lift up the valleys again, says the Lord, and I will lower the mountains for you. And you shall be called the head and not the tail, as it is written. And you will understand the principles of the kingdom of God. For the Lord is a mighty God in the midst of you. I, the Lord, will conquer, and I will destroy, and I will build. I say, if you stand, you shall see the glory of your God. If you read of it in the word, says the Lord, you know that the glory filled the temple. But the temple that I am filling this day is the temple of those that are known by my name. They have come into the glory of their God and understand the principles of my working in them. I, the Lord, will do even greater things in the midst of you. I, the Lord, will cause you to arise, and the weak shall be strong, as it is written. I will confine the wise, says the Lord, and I will cause the weak to be strong. I will lift you up in an hour, says the Lord, and this time, and you shall know that the Lord is in the midst of you. You will not go in the head knowledge of men, but you shall go in the power of my Spirit. You shall not war in the knowledge that you know, but in the Spirit that I put within you. I have called you, says the Lord, that you might be priests and kings unto me, that you will stand even in this hour, says the Lord, and declare the righteousness of your God. And you shall see with your eyes those things that are spoken out of your mouth, that creative power has been in you. The same things that are spoken of your master Jesus, it shall be within you, says the Lord. For the word is a powerful word. It is a live word that rejuvenates and regenerates. I say to you, if you declare with boldness and believe the things that are spoken out of of you and declare that I am Lord, says the Lord, you shall see the perfecting of those things that seem deteriorating around you. And I will cause the blessing that I've spoken about Abraham that shall come upon you. And you shall know that it'll be the inheritance of those that follow you, from your children to your grandchildren. And the curses, says the Lord, shall be broken, and you shall understand the working that I have in for you. I say to you, do not stand in judgment of one another, of the knowledge that you know, but of the things of the Spirit of the living God, that I might work in you the works that I've come to do, says the Lord, that I might tear down the strongholds of your life and those that love you, that you will work and see the glory of God in the midst of a people that are called by my name. And you shall know that the workings of God shall come, says the Lord. It shall be as the rivers that will come and wash, says the Lord, and new things shall begin to appear. I say to you, I am the same as I was yesterday. I am the same today as I will be tomorrow. I change not, says the Lord. Stand and see the glory and the salvation of your God. Do not stand in fear and look at those things that seem to be destructive and terrible with your natural eye. I say to you, lift your eyes and see me, says the Lord, and seek my face this day and my strength, and you shall know of the power of your God that shall come. For the anointing in this day upon you that believe shall be even greater. I say to you, I will increase, and I will increase, and I will increase, says the Lord, that those that don't know me might come to the light and know that I am God. I, the Lord, will do great and mighty things. Why stand you in knowledge? I say to you that signs and wonders shall follow them that believe, and you shall see the glory of God in the midst of a people that walk in darkness. And I will wipe up the scales, says the Lord, of the eyes of those that don't see, and faith shall begin to be their portion, and the word shall be the power of your God. And the anointing will come even this hour, says the Lord, to devastate those things that seem to be hindering. I say to you, the earth is mine and the fullness thereof. It doesn't belong to the enemy, but I've got an army, says the Lord, that shall arise with power and declare that Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
I got to cover something this morning, and it's going to offend some, okay? You know, we talk about generational curses, and we sing, and we praise, and we march, but you know, and it keeps us alive, okay? But then there's the bottom line. What causes these curses? What causes these curses? And I have challenged, I've taught this, I do a seminar on this, have for years. I've done it in 49 states and 15 countries. Glory to God. I've been taken into insane asylums. They wouldn't keep me because they didn't have to know. But we've had people that were insane, never to be set free again, come out and get married. Literally, a man was so drugged in Romania last time I was there. His mother... Here's one of them. I can't get into all of them. But I'll tell you what. If you got children and you baby that child and you favor one against above another, it's a terrible curse. I don't have time to get into it today, but it's a terrible one. And this boy was mama's baby, and she died. And he went crazy waiting for mama to come back. And when I went in and broke that curse, the drugs come off him. And he looked around and he says, I am free. Can I leave? And I said, do you see those guards over there? If I take you, they're going to throw us both in jail. You're going to have to play their games. But don't you accept. 36 hours later, he was out. All right? But see, if you don't get the cause, it's going to keep coming back. You know, you can cut the legs off your steers because you're too lazy to clean the barn. And eventually, they get crippled up and die. You know, the poop... I come from the farm, all right? Manure keeps getting deeper. And if you don't clean it out, pretty soon there's no room for growth. That's where the body of Christ is. Would you please stand up? Please, stand up. I want to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, and if you don't agree, you can sit down at any point. But Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we're not coming to war against each other. We're standing in unity before you, Father. We're your kids. We can't make it without you, Father, and we can't make it the way it's been going. We have got to rise up and be more like Christ. And Father, I just, in the name of Jesus, I command every religious spirit from hell to get out of here in the name of Jesus Christ. You don't come in here and mess with these people. I send an angel with each person. And I call out that our ears be open to hear. Father, make my voice to speak what you would have it spoken in the name of Jesus. Father, let this be a day when the captives are set free. Not we deserve it because the price was paid. And Father, that we go out and set others free. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Sit down, please. You all stood? It means we agree. All right? You know, unity of the Spirit, you can't hash over doctrines and never have unity of the Spirit. And the Spirit is sealed in you, so you can't contaminate it. But whatever portion of your life you line up with the Spirit of God is where you walk in power. I'm so sick of listening to people teach on healing and everybody leaves sick. You know, that's the same stuff that came out of the garden when Adam and Eve ate the fruit of knowledge. Signs, miracles, and wonders follow those who believe. All right? We're either going to have signs, miracles, and wonders for Satan or for Jesus. You make your choice. You confess your problems all the time, you're worshiping the wrong Lord. Okay, so you're hurt. I know hurt. I know what it's like to be in a coma. I can tell you that you're in a coma. My definition by experience is you're in a room with no doors. And you hear everything is said outside there. And you can't get out. And they're cursing you to death. That's a coma. Isn't that amazing? And yet people stand over Uncle Joe and say they love him. And they talk death curses. It shouldn't be so, folks. She's the only one brave enough to get up near the spit and anoint. And God bless you, sister. She's tough. Everybody else stays way back. I love you. But see, we got to be careful what we speak. You know, a curse and a blessing starts with words, always. Does God curse? Yes. I'm not going to get into that. He's the author of curses. Isn't that amazing? Because he's a just God. And somehow things got to be done. I've heard many times talking about third and fourth generation. Well, I'll tell you what. The Jews, ever since, it's been more than three or four generations. It's been nearly 2,000 years since that day. They said, crucify him. And Pilate says, I don't want the curse of innocent blood on me. And they said, let it be on our children forever. And it's still going on. And see, and that was one of the things where the Lord convinced me that those gypsies really were from the daughters of Judas Iscariot. And when I shared that, you can say I'm full of anything you want. You can call me a dog, but I can't wag my tail. But I can tell you what, if you want to judge what a man says, you go look at the fruit. All right? Signs, miracles, and wonders follow those who believe. All right? You want signs, miracles, and wonders? Don't spend all your time looking back looking for them, because you're going to fall down. They follow you. It's like that little puppy dog out there. I prayed for him. He was limping, and I prayed for him. I don't know if he got healed or not, if he accepted it. But you know, hey, I had a chicken one time. It was just about ready to eat, and it died. It made me mad. I had a band that said, I want to learn something about being a prophet. Can I spend time with you? Then you do what I do. He says, okay. Well, I went to feed my chickens. I had a dead one. It made me mad. Oh, but I didn't see it. I grabbed that chicken. I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, you come alive. And the chicken jumped out of my hands. I didn't even think about it because the Spirit of God's working. When you let the Spirit of God work, things happen. I looked at this brother, and he was just frozen. He says, Carl, that was only a chicken. I said, no, that's chicken and dumplings. You got to see past the problem, okay? If you don't get moved by the Spirit of God, then you aren't moving. Signs, miracles, and wonders follow those who will believe. Are you going to believe? Well, you know, you have the measure of faith. The only way to please God is by faith. And believing is what you do with faith. All right? That's what you do with faith, is you believe. Or you let it sit there. You know, sometimes when spirits come out, people, they stink so bad you nearly vomit. And, you know, and some of that smell is from faith. That's the things in my face. From faith that is once stagnant. Think about it. Faith that rots stinks. Keep that in mind. But Adam and Eve fell because they went after knowledge only. And I'm telling you today, there's been a lot of wonderful knowledge spoken, even a little bit by me. But the rest of the guys are really doing a good job. But the bottom line is that if you don't do something with it, that's sin. Okay? And Satan has legal authority to mess with your life when you don't step out on what the Lord has imparted to you. And you can say, but I didn't believe it. Well, tough luck, Charlie Brown. You know, I wonder what these atheists are going to do when they got to stand before the great white throne and say, you can't be real. I don't believe in you. I was talking to an atheist one time, and he was mad, and he said the GD word. Okay, G-damn. And you know what? I said, how can you use a word describing somebody that don't exist? And you know what? He said, now I believe there's a God. And the man accepted Jesus. See? Every situation, there's an opportunity to turn it back around. A blessing is what you do with your life. A curse is what you do with your life. It's up to you. But I'm going to deal with some generational stuff. We've talked about generational curses. I'm going to show you the specific sins. All right? That cause generational curses. You want to hear them?
Amen.
And if you've done them, you just messed with your kids and your grandkids. Unless you repent. And can you repent for the sins of your forefathers? Yes, you can. When the children of Israel come out of captivity, you know, when they used to stone people, the offenses that you got stoned for were the sins that brought curses into the generations. And God, in His mercy, had that person killed before they bred. You're having a baby. Make sure that you get all the curses off of your life so that baby can be brought into a great freedom, right? And that's your desire of your heart? Hallelujah. But see, they took them out and they stoned them with big rocks. It wasn't heroin. It was big rocks. And they died. And it was God's mercy. David, that illegitimate son that he had, he died. Why? Because he was a bastard. He had a bastard curse. Couldn't have that bastard curse in the bloodline that Christ was going to come from. Isn't that something? That's so simple. You know what? In the curseable offense you do, there has to be death for. The only way you get rid of them is death, and it's on the cross. And I want to tell you, Jesus did not carry that cross to Calvary. I don't care who painted that picture. Read the Bible. A man by the name of Simon carried that cross. Why? You know, I talked to the Lord about this. He told me, he says, that night, I'd studied history before I got into the Word, and it was neat how some of it helped me and some of it was interesting. But the Word of God is so awesome. History doesn't prove the Word. The Word proves the Word. Okay? But it's amazing when history clicks in there. But I can't remember what them soldiers were called that guarded Jesus that night. Huh?
Centurion.
No, that's just a number. Centurions, just a number. 100. No, there was a name, and there was more than 100 of them. But I can't think. There was a name for him. And you history buffs, go find it, and you call me and let me know. Write me a letter, email, something. But I'll forget it anyway, but, you know, give me a shot. But the thing about it is these men were the most professional murderers of that day. Satan had gathered together the most perverse spirits that day when Jesus was judged. The very rottenest. And the people that were the most sold out to evil. This is terrible, but one of the things these soldiers like to do when they move through a city and took it is they throw the babies up in the air and catch them on their spear and drink the blood. Okay, you get an idea? Jesus said that every man there killed him that night, but he refused to die. Think about that. Jesus knew what the Word of God said. He knew. And yet he did it. Why do you think in the garden he said, is there any other way, Dad? Can we pass this cup to another way of doing it? You know, you're God. But see, obedience brings blessings. So Jesus, by obeying and taking that curse, he could have died that night before his blood would have been shed. By his stripes you were healed. He could have died, been put in the grave, and been risen in 3 days, and you'd have salvation. Now that's about all Christianity accepts. Now what good's a hand without a thumb? Try grip. But see, Jesus knew he had to die on that tree. There was no other way for you and I to be free than for him to die on that tree. And the bastardly religious devils and the doctrines of devils that's accepted in the church today says Christians can't be cursed. And the jerks quoted out of context, out of Galatians, and say because, well, you show me a Christian that's lived in faith every minute since they've been born again. Because if you read Galatians chapter 3, it's a context. The whole chapter is uniquely context. It starts out, verse 1 says, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" Well, the amazing thing about being bewitched is you don't know you're bewitched. Isn't that amazing? Well, we need each other, don't we? That's why you need us loud-mouthed prophets to come along. Boy, you know, and yet they've been taught to hate the man that speaks the truth. But the bottom line is that if you read Galatians chapter 3 without prejudice of your religious upbringing, put that all on the shelf, in fact, put in a box and throw it in the ocean, go back to the Bible. But if you would just look at it, you got two places to live, either under the law or under faith. And any time that you're not living under faith, you have fallen under the law, baby. Oh, but I'm a Christian. Well, hallelujah. You know, that and a buck, you can get a cup of coffee in a cheap restaurant. If you're not doing anything with it, that's all the good's going to do you in life. You know, we have got to make some decisions. And then we've got to stick to those decisions. And we need to challenge one another to rise up and be what the Word of God says we're supposed to be. Jesus had to make it. He had to stay alive. The author of death, Satan, worked. And he sent his worst of the devils. They were all generals. Every one of them devils was generals. There weren't no PFCs around that night. He devils threw everything he had because if he could get Jesus dead, he killed the Son of God. If he could kill him. But you know, Jesus didn't get killed. Jesus gave his life. Right? Read the Bible. But he had to make it there. He had to die on Calvary. Or you and I could never be free of the curses. All right? And praise God for that. But see, just sitting there and thinking you can get by osmosis won't do it. Because if you don't repent of the sins that I'm going to talk about, that you've done, and don't sit there and say you haven't, and that your ancestors have done, and don't say, oh, they're... Hey, I've been told that... Daniel Boone is in my bloodline on my mom's side. Well, you know, so he is. I don't know. But it doesn't do me any good one way or the other, really. You know what I mean? And he probably done some cursible sins. Who knows? I mean, you can deal with it and get it done with. You know, I'd be 60 years old in a couple, 3 months. And all the Fox males died between 40 and 50. Until I learned about these curses business and blessings. Got rid of the curse. I got a good heart. Amen. All right? You don't have to accept. I don't care what a doctor says. Don't let him curse you with a diagnosis. Man, I got news for you. You know? But we need to get into those. Let's go to Deuteronomy 27, verse 15. I'm going to go through them kind of fast because otherwise everybody's going to be throwing rocks at me when they get hungry. But it's in verse 4. 15, there's 27. Cursed be the man that makes any graven or molten image. It's an abomination unto the Lord that works the hands of the craftsman and puts it in a secret place. And all the people shall say amen. Amen. I'll tell you what. You know what it says? You know what it means when you say amen? You take the guilt if you don't do what it says. It also means that's it. But the prophet that day demanded that they say amen at the end of every one of these. Every one of them, there had to be an amen. Every one of them. And we can say, well, we don't have Mary and plastic Jesus on our dash. Well, I got news for you. There have been people that for their career or their education or whatever have set the calling of the Lord aside. That's an idol. I had somebody tell me one time, well, Brother Carl, when I get my bills paid, I'm going to help you in your work. I got news for you. The first of the month, I've got to have a big handful of cash in Romania. We support three ministries, and there's probably 15, 20 churches a month being started, those three ministries, and two orphanages, plus a bunch of other stuff. You know what? There is no room for excuse. On the first of the month, that money has got to be sitting in the right hands of Bucharest, Romania for distribution. I don't have any. You know, I'm in a spot where I can't make excuses. That's faith. Faith is not going out and getting all these vows from people for help and then making your decisions according to the vows. The fact is, if you're making vows to men to support their ministries, you're in sin and you can be cursed. Because if their ministry isn't for real, then you're supporting and you're aiding and abetting a false ministry.
Amen.
And if you realize it and you break it, you've broken a covenant and you'll be cursed.
Right.
And yet these guys say, oh, do a seed covenant with me. Well, if you've done it, read your Bible and then repent. Don't take my word for it. Read your Bible. God is our sufficiency, okay?
Amen.
And He's our sufficiency to get rid of curses. Through His Son. Jesus didn't withhold His Son. He's not going to withhold now. What He'll do for you, you think it's a big deal. It's not a big deal. He did the big deal. So let's quit having all our false gods.
I wish I had time to get into cursed objects. Well, the weekend's not over. Maybe I will. It is an amazing thing. In fact, just remind me, we really do need to. Because some of you, God just told me, got stuff in your house. All right? But not now. Verse 16. Cursed be he that sits light by his father and his mother, and all the people shall say amen. I'll tell you real clear, you can't sit on Oprah's show, talk about how bad your daddy was to you, tell the whole world, and not be cursed. Isn't that amazing? You know, Ephesians 6, starting in verse 1, it says, obey your father and mother, right? It promises you a long and a good life. Amazing. And we have all these people are dying so young. You know, I know what it's like to be an abused child. I know what it's like. My father always thought I was a bastard. I never heard I love you from him. I never heard good job. And even before I came to the Lord worked in my heart and convinced me that I need to become friends with my dad. And the last couple of years before he died, we become friends. And I praise God for it. You know, you got a difference with somebody if they're still alive. You can't tell them after they're dead. If you're trying to, you may open yourself up for possession. Because the dead is dead. They're coming to your house talking to you. Tell them, get out in the name of Jesus Christ. All right? I mean, let's get real on this thing. But well, that's settled, these things that are trying to tear up our lives. Cursed be, these are curses, and if you're guilty of them, your babies and grandbabies and so on and so forth, until the repentance happens, it's going to continue. Why does alcohol keep running down the family? Brother talked about it last night. Abuse, all these things. Because the curse makes way for it to continue happening. Cursed be he that removes his neighbor's landmark, and all people shall say amen. Cheating, stealing, manipulating. The Bible says love your neighbor. Oh, but but love him. That's what the Word of God says. All right? You obey, you're blessed. You disobey, you're cursed. And it's in black and white. It isn't red ink, it's black ink that says that. You know, so the boss has a lot of styrofoam cups, so you bring some home because you have a prayer meeting at your house. Whoa! Those kind of things happen. Devil is subtle. We don't get broken with big sins. It's little ones. See? And we just get drawn off a little and a little and a little. But stealing and moving your neighbor's landmark, when God gave them the promised land, they put stones at the corner of each property boundary. So the guys happens to be gone for a while, you know. They just move it over a little bit. Nobody knew, did it at night. Guess what? God isn't in time. He don't sleep. And this one's really amazing, verse 18. Cursed be he that makes the blind to wander out of their way, and all the people shall say amen. Do you know, literally, there are people that will take somebody that's blind and they're used to where everything is, and they think it's funny to put a chair out there. Or make fun of somebody because they're retarded. Or not like somebody because they're strange. Well, I may be strange, but you better like me. In fact, you got to love me. You know, we take advantage of the disadvantaged, and we're cursed for it. These are things, because, see, God has compassion. These are things that if you did them, you died. Stoned to death. You know, I was in Washington State a while back, and there was a man that had been trying to get healed of, what's the blood disease? No. More common and bad. No. Diabetes. Thank you, whoever said that. Diabetes. The man had diabetes, and, you know, and it kept getting worse. Prayed. He had the big famous guys pray for him. You know. Knocked him down several times. All kinds of things, and he never got rid of it. And he came, and he was mad. I said, well, one thing you got to do is get rid of that anger. God didn't do it. Well, he says, I had a man, and, you know, and after all, he's got, I said, I don't care what he's got. The Word of God says, and if you really believe that God gave it to you to make you better, then why don't you ask him for three or four more of them? All right? I mean, if you really believe what you believe, then do something with it. You know, he cripples up your arm. Well, this is to make me a better man. Well, then ask him to get a couple legs in the other arm and get better quicker. Boy, that's a doctrine of devils. 3 John 2 says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou may prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. That's God's will for you. It's not his will for us to be sick. I don't care what it is. But anyway, when God showed me the curse on the man, we broke the curse. And I just got, he asked me, what should I do about my insulin stuff? I said, don't ask me, I ain't no doctor. God ain't telling me nothing. I said, where's your faith? Well, I'm healed. I said, well, then that's the way I'd act. And that's what he did. And he had loving family tell him, oh, you know, he said, shut up, I don't want to hear it. I remember one time there was a lady in a wheelchair. You know, when you're walking with God, you know, you do things. But I just was doing like this. She was there in that wheelchair. And all of a sudden, I got stirred, and I grabbed her and took her out of the wheelchair. We started running. You know what happened? She got clear to the end of the church. It was a big, long one. And she realized she was healed. And we say, trying to think of how to overcome these things, and we got the ability in us. It's a blessing. The curse is we won't believe it. Is anybody sleeping? Okay, I just want to make sure. Cursed be he that perverts the judgment of the stranger and the fatherless and the widows. All the people shall say amen. Man, I'll tell you, and yet people will falsify documents or say, well, I was there and, you know, and lie about what happened in the accident. Man, and you do that for your buddy and all the babies born behind you are going to suffer. Oh, God must be mean. No, he's a just God. Fact is, the vengeance for doing cursable offenses is so bad one generation couldn't handle it. Cursed be he that lies with his father's wife because he uncovers his father's skirt, and all the people shall say amen. There's 3 verses that are going to talk about incest. Only 1 about bestiality. But I'll tell you what, I seldom pray for a family that doesn't have incest in it. Okay? So get off your stupid pride. Right after the pride is a big crash, you fall. Okay? So if someone's praying here and they're listening to God, and they come against incest, just praise God it's being removed. If you didn't do it, who cares? If you did, who cares? That's get rid of it, okay? All right? Because see, it's a secret sin. Uncle Joe just disappears. He just disappears, see? Little girls go to their mothers and they say, Mommy, Uncle Joe, and oh, Mama, you can't talk about that. And in the worst time of this little girl's life, she lost the love of her mother. Now, by the faith, hope, and love, these 3, the greatest is love. She lost the love of her mother. How terrible. See, curses just start an avalanche. And you can't steer an avalanche. You put all big trees in the way you want, and guess what? They become part of the avalanche. Steal, kill, and destroy is the devil's ministry. He's been doing it for years. He knows how. You can't manipulate around these things. Cursed be he that lies with any manner of beast, and all the people shall say amen. And believe me, it amazes you how much has gone and happened. I had a man come to me just recently. And he said, I remember when I was a little boy, but we took care of it. Cursed be he that lies with his sister, the daughter of his father, or his mother, daughter of his mother. All the people shall say amen. Amen. Cursed be he that lies with his mother-in-law, and all the people shall say amen. You know, with all these mother-in-law jokes, it surprised me something like that could happen. Amen. Cursed be he that lies with his mother-in-law. We go into that. Cursed be he that smites his neighbor secretly, and all the people shall say amen. You know, it's getting back to why is God so concerned about what you do with your neighbor? He just brought up the neighbor thing again. You know why? Do you know why? You might be their last chance to learn about Jesus. And if you've been a major butthead, they can't hear you. You know, most Christians' testimony is so pathetic that I understand. I spent a lot of years where I was telling God I'd rather go to hell. I could not see spending eternity with them creeps. Come on, let's get real. You know, a Christian is supposed to love, not judge. We're not supposed to hate. It's okay to hate sin, but you can't hate the sinner. You know, they need help and they ask for help and you tell them, get away. If you don't work, you shouldn't eat. Get away from me. Churches call themselves a storehouse. They expect the tithe to go to them. Clowns like me are supposed to work on dreams. I feed the hungry. I look out for widows and orphans. You go to that church, you knock on the door, and it's Molly Jones is starving. Get some food. She doesn't have enough blankets. They say, what are you talking about? And the Sunday before, the preacher got up and said, we're the storehouse. The tithe goes to the storehouse. Whoa. You know, it's a dangerous thing to give gypsy beggars money. So I tell the guys, so if any of you go, and I forget to tell you, you've been told. You put your small bills in the pocket here. You never let them know you got much money because there's always somebody watching and they'll kill you for it. It's not a friendly place to minister to the gypsies. I talk about getting out in the villages, okay? You got to be really careful, but you can't just not give. So we use wisdom. Yeah, sometimes God will say, no, don't help them. But if I'm in doubt whether I should help somebody, I would rather be wrong helping them than be wrong not helping them and have them go without. You know, we're supposed to look out for our neighbors. That's the testimony. We're supposed to give one another an opportunity to minister. Everybody wants to be up here ministering. Good Lord, the competition is to be up front. The most powerful ministry is most people don't even know that they're doing that. And they're probably being made fun of and they're being abused and they're intercessors. But I got one word for you intercessors. Got a lot of words, but this one here is for you. When you get done praying for them people, give them to God. More intercessors go crazy by hanging on to it. And then don't get caught in this doctrine of devils. And it is. And if you don't think it is, we'll have a private meeting. Of taking the people's illness on yourself. Boy, I have had to pray for more intercessors because somebody wrote a book about it. And you don't birth somebody else's pain. Give me a break. Are you Jesus? Huh? Good Lord. It's not in the Bible. Jesus bore my pain. So I can minister health, healing, strength, courage, love, right? Why would you want... No. You know, if you're ministering from your experience, you're ministering from your soul. Did you hear me?
Yeah.
Huh? You know, the soul and spirit are two different things. Did you know that?
Yes.
Your soul is nephesh, life. It's where you think. It's where you're supposed to be communing with God. Because, see, your spirit is perfect. It's sealed. You can't contaminate it. Read the Bible.
Yeah.
All right, you got born again? That spirit's sealed. But, see, it's how you take and bring your soul into alignment with that spirit of God that he's put in there. Right? That's where it's at. And that's where we commune. But see, God will give us the strength. There's nothing He can't heal. Jesus said, the works that I do, you shall do also, and greater shall you do because I go unto the Father. And I want to talk to you ministers here. Here's the toughest one for ministers to do, to make themselves of no reputation. So if you write a book, don't put your picture in there. If you have, next time you get it printed, stick it out. Honest. Let's make ourselves of no reputation. That's the hardest one for ministers to do. It's the hardest one to do. The temptation is so great. People will stroke you and try to get you to be puffed up for the miracles. And many of them, when you won't let them do it, will turn against you. Because people want to follow people. Well, don't follow me. Because if I catch you, I'm going to make a quick turn. All right? We can walk together. I'll do everything I can to help you walk with the Lord Jesus. But every minister's job... The people don't belong to the minister. They belong to God. It's a minister's job, and every one of you has the ministry of reconciliation, and you have the blessing, and the responsibility goes with the blessing to reconcile people. Bring them closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our job. Whether you're up here, back there, over there, cooking back there, whatever we're doing, and they're all equally important. You know, and sometimes you get good ideas. Make sure that they're not your ideas. Because, see, maybe we're ministering from our soul. And when we minister to our soul, the temptation is to satisfy flesh. What did you say about flesh last night? We know something about. What did you say something about it? You don't remember either, huh? Well, but listen to the tapes. But it was a wonderful thing you said, so you better listen to it. But, Lord, pray for my mind. Pray for his mind. He said it. We don't minister to flesh. Isn't that what you said? Something like that? We don't minister to flesh. Good Lord, it's dead. We have all this racism. How stupid. How stupid. Utterly stupid. How can a human being that's supposed to have the ability to think they're better because they're purple, green, or orange, or white, or black? Our color, or lack of it, is in dead flesh. Isn't that amazing? I went up to a lady one time and I knew she'd been abused racially, a black lady. Because I was sitting in the airport. I do that. They make you do that between planes, you know. And so sometimes I just start asking God about people. Sometimes He tells me something. I go up and say wild things and wild things happen. And because I'm not good at waiting, so... You know. I need some entertainment, you know. But anyway, this black lady, and she had said such a forlorn look on her face. And I asked God, and God told me, He said, she feels so bad because of her color. So I went up and I said, ma'am. She didn't look up. I said, ma'am, excuse me. And I went, ma'am, excuse me. And she looked at me. I says, your skin is so pretty. Look at how pale mine is. She looked at me. She said, I never heard such a thing. I said, but it's true. Who's got black skin here? Come here. I want to prove something to you. To my sister. Look at the beauty. Look at the beauty. Show them dimples. Huh? All right. Now look at. Look at the beauty.
Amen.
The beauty and the beast, you know? All right. God bless you. That's never, ever, 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 ever make decisions by how people look. I know I look funny. My ears look like a car with both doors open. You know? Hallelujah. But I got a pretty spirit in me.
That's right.
You know, I mean, we can curse people just by the way we treat them because they look different or smell different. You want a different smell, come on to Gypsy Land. You get some of these villages, there ain't a bar of soap for the whole village.
What about the gypsy breath?
Yeah. Well, we learned real quick how to deal with it. Eat a lot of onions. That's the Romanian breath mint is the onion. If you're eating onion and garlic, you don't notice theirs. I still like my shower in the morning if I can get it, though. Cursed be he that conformeth not to all the words of this law to do them. And all the people shall say amen. Okay, Carl, this is law and I live under grace. It's the grace age. It's the grace administration. Yes, it is. But see, when you're not living by faith, you're under the law. Read Galatians chapter 3. I challenge you to read Galatians chapter 3. We fall under the law every time we fall short in faith. I'm struggling right now. I got an email. They need $25,000 in Romania desperately. You wouldn't believe what we function on. We support 3 ministries, 2 orphanages, and a lot of prison ministry over there. We finally have broken into the ministry or the prison where they tortured and killed the Christians all these years. They told me I'm the first American that's gotten inside. There's been over 600 women, last count, that have come to the Lord. I sat there that morning. Right here was a little girl. She was 13 to 87 as the age spread. Age, not AIDS. Age. A-G-E. I talk funny. But she's sitting there, and I'm talking about the love of God. And the tears was coming out of those little eyes. Pretty little girl. She's just starting to become a woman. And I really had a hard time holding my composure because I looked, and there's both these are front row, and there's a lady. She was the 87-year-old. Both of them had murdered their parents. You know, life without parole, and they don't parole. I know God's going to do something for a little 13-year-old girl. But you know, I just shared a little bit with them the bondage of curses. And that you yourself have put your mind in prison. Only you can put your mind in prison. And the guard snapped to attention. I shouldn't say those kind of things. They're thinking, we made a mistake letting this guy in here. But you know what happened that day? The warden of the prison, I knew they were watching me through a secret window or something in the auditorium. But anyway, when we went to leave, I didn't like it. They kept my passport at the gate. In case of third world country, I like to keep my passport with me. All right, but that I had to do it, so I did. So when I got done and my job was done and they marched them out, they had to march in military. And so as they marched by me, I was waving them and smiling and crying, and they were crying. It was awesome. I mean, the rewards of serving God are so great. So as soon as it was done, you know, I did, I took off, and the warden says, wait, wait, wait. And I just ignore. I'm just getting going, you know. Everybody says, where are you going? I said, I'm getting my passport. I went to the guard and said, give me my passport, please. He says, here it is. I said, I didn't like you having it. He says, I could tell. And I said, let me out. So he let me out. I didn't know why I did it, but it was just, I'd been driven by the Lord to do it, and I did it. I got outside, and the warden's still saying, you know, I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you. So I says, okay, we can talk. Well, I want to talk in private. I knew she wouldn't accept Jesus, eh? But see, you got to confess him as Lord openly, right? And so I said, well, this parking lot's pretty private. Anyway, she accepted the Lord, and it's changed. And they've opened up the Greek Orthodox that kept Christianity out of the prison. And they lost their grip. The Greek Orthodox is the ones that set up so many Christians to be killed and murdered during the communist years. And it was just an awesome thing. I got an email the other day, and 2 very famous singers over there, both of them have quit their professional careers. One was an opera singer because they will only sing about Jesus. They only sing about the blood, the hope, and salvation. And these 2 women went out. The television cameras followed these women. So the whole country seen 600 women that day accepted Jesus. Was I there? No. But see, we're not supposed to run the show, see? It's Jesus. You know, my job is to go to start fires. You know, sometimes I never get back to that area again. Eternity's a long time. I'll get to talk to them sometime. But, you know, missionary work, it's, I don't see that word in the Bible, but we're used to it, so I'll use it. But you know what it is you equip. You don't make people dependent on you. I tried to work with so many people, and all they were doing was becoming kings, so everybody depended on them. That's not our job. Our job is to bring people to Jesus. Amen. And you know what? You come back by, and they're in a ditch. You pull them out of the ditch. Clean them up, you love them up, and you take them back to Jesus. People accuse me of not being organized. They are right. I do know how to listen to Jesus. I warn you, I do. And I discern to make sure it's his voice when I'm listening. All right? I don't need to be organized. They always want to know my programming. I says, you talk to Jesus. He ain't told me yet. Oh, they hate that, you know? So is the devil. You know, that morning, the guys with me, whoever goes with me, we have a little meeting. The Lord, right, Ron, you've been with me. We don't know it till next morning, do we? Yeah, today we follow the Lord Jesus. But I'm telling you this, do it here. That's what I'm doing here. That's what I'm doing here. We stand up, man, Glenn. Please, I want to stand up, man. You know what? When he got the vision for this campground, he didn't know where it was or anything about it.
That's true.
All right? I want you to listen to that tape that he's freely given you, all right? That's an example of a man of faith listening to the Lord. And there's even examples in there where this man of faith got anxious. But he held on. And I'm not saying this to stroke you or embarrass you. But I want you to listen to that tape. Because it will teach you a lot, not only about this campground and ministry, but it will teach you a lot about listening to God and waiting on the Lord. All right? Thank you. Please, if you haven't got the tape, get it. All right? But there's a lot of Bible being taught in there. It's the word of his testimony. It's great. See, that's the things we need to share. That encourages. I talk about people getting healed. You know why? Because some of you need healing. I was told one time by a lady that up in Tacoma, Washington, she'd been cursed by so many diagnoses, she had 12 incurable illnesses. And 7 of them would bring death. This lady had no life at all. And I have a friend that has a doctor of psychology. Christian psychologist. No, that's not an oxymoron. That's what I tell her, too. She says, if I do what you taught me, Carl, I'd be out of business. I said, hallelujah. I said, then what you need to do is pray for God to send all the people that need help. You get them out quick so you got room for more. She's working on that. She's a wonderful woman of God. Wonderful, just awesome woman of God. But anyway, she said, would you please come to my clinic? She said, I want to bring in all the hard cases and get them healed. That was her faith. That's what their faith was. It happened. But this lady got healed of all her diseases. She came. She found out where the meeting was at night, because every night it was a different place, it seemed. And she came in, and when she gave her testimony, I just closed the Bible. The word of her testimony. I said, come on, folks, let's get healed. There was 8 women with fibromyalgia that night got healed. All right? They tell me that that's impossible. They never talked to Jesus. But I didn't even know what fibromyalgia was. You know, I can't hardly say it. I just know how to listen to the Lord. Okay? Because he will heal. Our job is to help the blind see, the captive to be set free. In Jeremiah 17:5, this is another cursible offense, that generational. It says, thus saith the Lord. I tell you what, it says, thus saith the Lord, open your ears, both of them. Okay? That's why it's nice to have them stick out, to catch more. But listen to this, it says, cursed be the man that trusts in man, and he makes flesh his arm, whose heart departs from the Lord. The more you depend on the welfare system, the less you're going to depend on the Lord. When I broke my neck, I kept saying I was healed, my arm dangled. This hip would just go, boom, I'd go down. All of a sudden, it's like there's no leg there. You step out where there's supposed to be a leg and it's not there. You don't fall nice, you fall. I kept saying, I'm healed, I was healed, Jesus. They wouldn't send me to psychiatrists and everything else. Finally, they tried to blackmail me because, see, I was a contractor in those days. I had more energy than I did now, so I was full-time a contractor and full-time a minister. But I'd fallen and broke my neck, and it cost me $4 an hour for me to be able to work in that state. They call it labor and industries, workman's compensation. I'd pay $4 an hour to the state to work. So they were supposed to take care of if he got hurt. So anyway, they offered me, if I would let them do a surgery on my neck, that they said there was 85% chance of success, $98,500 and $1,200 a month for life. And I struggled with it because I knew the Bible said, well, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. But the Bible, improperly used, is a curse. The day that I told them that it's too bad they didn't write on tissue, they could use it for toilet paper. I'm not going to use that. I refuse it. And I turned down everything. You know, if you're going to depend on the government, you're cursed. That's why there's generations of welfare recipients. They're born into the system and they don't leave. It's a curse, folks. And it's from trusting in the arm of man. But the man that will trust in God, this is the man that I believe I am and I hope to stay, is in verse 8. It says, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreads out his roots, or her roots, by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of the drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. God wants you blessed so you can yield fruit. All right? He'll water your roots. You root your life into the gospel. And instead of depending on man, you've got the fullness of God. It makes a big difference. Zechariah 5:1, it says, then I turned and lifted mine eyes and looked, and behold, a flying roll. And it wasn't a brown and serve roll either. It was too big. And he said unto me, what seest thou? And I answered, I see a flying roll. You read the first verse maybe too. But anyway, the length thereof is 20 cubits, and the breadth thereof is 10 cubits. Then said he unto me, listen to this. This is a curse that goes forth over the face of the whole earth. Where do we live, folks? Okay. Are you listening? Do I have your attention? For everyone that steals shall be cut off on this side according to it. And everyone that sweareth shall be cut off as on the other side according to it. See? And then in James it talks about making oaths. You know, some of the praise songs that we do, I shut up. I am not ready to do what you're vowing. You think about this, folks. And you that lead praise, you think about it. You know, I tell you, because see, we're making an oath, we're making a vow. Let's be careful. If you're not ready to do it, usually what I do, if I know that I just can't do that yet, I just sing in tongues, for those of you who are tongue talkers. Okay? I'm still singing. Tongues is perfect prayer and praise. But see, when you vow a vow, or you're drawn into a vow, or you draw people into a vow that they can't keep, why do you think Satan works so hard to break the marriage vow? That's a serious, solemn oath. I remember there was about 4 years where as a minister I wouldn't do weddings because it cut me so deep to be part of a marriage that fell. And then God taught me about curses. And when a man and woman come together with their generational curses, they love each other, they can't keep their hands off each other. Apostle Paul said, you get like that, get married or burn. They said, well, we don't want to burn, we'll get married, we're going to be Christians. And then they get married, and within 2 weeks, he's down at the bar telling marriage jokes. And she's on the phone crying to Mama, Mother, I married a monster. Well, they married each other because of the one flesh oath. They married each other's curses. You ministers, before you do a wedding, you remove the curses of that couple, both of them, okay? So they can come together and they got a chance, right? It's awesome. It's awesome when you come and you don't carry that in. You know, you're used to your, you know, you've always went like this, you know. You know, so you're used to it. But good Lord, if your wife gets married, she starts doing that, you know what I mean? That's overemphasizing, all right? Can't do it too much, I have a stiff neck, but... But the thing about it is, you're used to your curses, and you think that's what's even right. Okay? You marry that little lady, she's not used to it. You marry that handsome man, he's not used to it. And Satan uses that, so you come against each other. But if you would just realize the importance of coming clean. It's awesome. But there's a couple other ones I need to... You touched on it last night, but I'm sorry, brother. I'm going to hit it just a little harder. You soften them up. Now I'll hit them hard, okay? Malachi. This is real, folks. This is so real. Do you know, Christian Faith International Ministries, we tithe. We give everything away we receive, but we write tithe checks. You guys with ministries and gals with ministries, you ain't doing it. You ain't really received the greatness of God yet. I can say, well, I already do it. I got the orphanages. I got those three ministries over there that are growing. Amongst those three ministries is over 200 churches. Maybe it's doubled by now. I don't know. These people go wild over there. Because they're going out there and staying in Romania. They're crossing borders. Those gypsies all speak the same language. So I can say, well, that's my tithe. No, it isn't. So you reach outside to other ministries, okay? And you've got to make sure that you tithe, because Malachi chapter 3, Old Testament, you know what? You could take everything in Malachi. If I had time, I would. You could take everything in Malachi, and it fits today. Absolutely perfect. You know, I wonder if that New Testament should have started before Malachi. Actually, the New Testament probably started in Acts chapter 2, day of Pentecost.
Right.
You know? And by the way, the book of Acts is still being written. That book is going to be open. It'll be the Acts of Carl or the Acts of Mary or whoever, all right? I'm going to have a lot of blank pages because I messed up a lot of things and I've repented. And he's washed it clean. But he might be paging for 5 minutes before he gets to another thing where I get a reward. But at least I'm not going to have to sit there naked, not being able to make an excuse. I mean, you know, we need to realize that God is not mocked. But anyway, in chapter 3, and he says in verse 6, "For I am the Lord, and I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed." Well, you can say. He could say, you know, peanut butter, and you can't show me any. Let's go up there. But, you know, you can say, well, I am not a son of Jacob. Then you're not a Christian. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, right? And it says in Galatians chapter 3, I challenge you to read it. But it says that we are, Abraham's our father of faith. That's right.
That's right.
It's talking to us. First of all, thus saith the Lord, he said, I don't change. And then he shows you in the bloodline that you're in. We're in the bloodline of Abraham. You have two lines. One's the bastard line and one's the legitimate. And we that are of the legitimate need to reach over to those that are of the bastard side. You know, the interesting thing about 9-1-1, when that happened, I really believe, and there's enough documentation, that I'm firmly convinced that's when Jesus was born, September 11th. Seriously. Absolutely. He wasn't born at the winter solstice. The shepherds aren't in the field. I've been over in that country. There's nothing out there to eat. But it's interesting. Literally, the birth of Jesus is when that happened. That's right. Come have him teach it to you, because he's one of the people that I've looked at his work. I've looked at other people's. It amazes me. People that never heard of each other that have worked on this have come up with the same conclusions. Wake up, church. Wake up, church. Okay, but anyway, this is talking to us.
Excuse me, I meant tabernacles.
Tabernacles, yeah.
Pentecost.
Yeah, Pentecost. Tabernacles. But anyway, verse 6 says that he doesn't change, okay? Key 1. Key 2, he's son to Jacob. Right? And it says, "For even for the days of your fathers you've gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, says the Lord, and I will return unto you, says the Lord of hosts." It's the Lord of hosts speaking. Do you know who that is? That's the ferocious God that speaks fire and the mountains melt. That's God in his host army. Pay attention. "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me." He don't even sit and discuss it, you know. But you say, "Where have we robbed you?" Tithes and offerings. Well, you know what tithe means? 10. You know what offering means? Yes, God be bound to 10. I had someone tell me, "Well, brother, we don't tithe. We give offerings." I said, "Well, what are you doing with the first 10? "Well, it isn't always 10. I said, "If you're not going to do it, don't do it. Because then you're going to blame God. Get real." I had another man say, "When we get caught up on our bills, we will start tithing." Yeah, he lost his house. He lost his house. And the guy made more money than our whole ministry did. Curse of poverty. I know millionaires with curse of poverty. And we're going to get into that. I know it's lunchtime, but...
You have 6 minutes.
I got 6 minutes. Whee. Okay. Just do it, okay? Now close the book, okay? But the thing is, he says in here, he says, cursed be ye that... Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. God curses that curse. Not Satan. Do you think Satan would curse you for disobeying? He got you where he wants you. Okay? He said, bring in the tithes. I'll give you more blessings than you can offer. I'm running short on time. I want you to go to Haggai chapter 1 and verse 6. I want to read to you the perfect definition of the curse of poverty, okay? It says, for lo, I raised... that's Habakkuk. Somebody got it? Huh? Read it loud. 1:6. Real loud.
You have sown much, but you have reaped little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you do not have your fill. You clothe yourself, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages has earned them to put them in a bag with holes in it.
That's God's curse of poverty. And if you read it up the chapter in the context, it's from not taking care of the church. And I got news for you, no offense, this is not the church. None of those places with the phallic symbols up on top, steeples, that's where it come from. Paganism. But you know what? None of them is a church. I'm looking at the church.
Amen.
All right? And when you ignore the needs in the church, all right, then that's the curse of poverty comes. I used to let people call me. I'd break the curse of poverty and set them straight. God would start blessing them. They were amazed. They would quit tithing. And the curse of poverty come back. They call me, Brother Carl. They come back somehow. Would you pray for me? I said, no. What? I said, no, I ain't messing with this. You're disobedient. You repent. God will take care of you. See, God will take care of you. Why should I be part of your sin? I got enough of my own to deal with. But all of these things that I've covered literally bring a curse on your children and their children and their children. And if I got time, and if not, we just get shut off. But just one other thing I wanted to bring in here. And it's in Deuteronomy 28, verse 45. It says, moreover, all these curses shall come up upon thee and shall pursue thee and overtake thee till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Don't suggest, he commands them. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder and upon thy seed forever. That's more than 3 or 4 times, okay? That's not the only place it says that. I've had people say, well, the fourth generation was my father, and he's cursed and he can't see it. Religious spirits love to blind you. You know, the children of Israel, the Jews are still cursed, aren't they? And their children are, in every generation, except for the ones that have repented. You know, these are curses that they stoned for. There's other ones about disobedience I don't have time to get into. Maybe they'll let me get up here again, huh? Because it's an amazing truth. And these are simple things, folks. I'm not here to judge you. Good Lord, God took the most guilty man and brought him before you. Except I've been redeemed from the curse of the law. God has forgiven me. All right? And so I want to pray. So even if it stops, I still want to pray. Okay? Would everybody please stand? I just want to take care of this corporately. If anybody feels they need some special attention, you can have it. But in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you for this congregation of your people, your children. Father, we repent of those sins. We repent of those sins, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. Not only the ones that we've done, but our generations before us, Father, in the name of Jesus. We ask now that any curses that remain right now, in the name of Jesus, we command them to be broken right now. We take authority over them, and we turn them to dust in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that the enemy be broken, absolutely broken, that we rise up. Honey, you rise up right now in the name of Jesus. Don't you ever doubt again, okay? Don't ever doubt, all right? No more fear, all right? That's from a curse, and you just got rid of it. All right? No more fear, honey. No more fear, all right? In the name of Jesus, no more fear. Fear is a curse. Fear is not of God. It is not of God. Father, we just thank you that every curse be broken. We thank you, Father, that we can set our feet one before the other, and you make the ground solid under us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we can walk forward with confidence, because confidence is faith. And we put our confidence in you. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, and the woman that trusts in the Lord, and we trust you, Father. You have proven us to be worthy by your precious Son. We've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I claim the Word of God to take authority in the name of Jesus Christ. And we praise you, Father, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. And amen means let's eat. So in the name of Jesus Christ, we bless the food. We bless the people that have worked so hard. In the name of Jesus Christ, and we bless the fellowship. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.